This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. Did walking your dog in flip-flops in late December make you wonder what on earth is going on with this weather? Well, the data has been crunched and your suspicions are confirmed. Last year in North Carolina, the weather was warmer than ever before. According to NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information, 2019 was the hottest year on record for our state. It beat out 1990 by a small margin, but this warming is a trend that does not appear to be going away. State climatologist Kathy Dello is with me now to break down the data. Kathy, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So start by explaining these numbers to us. When we say that 2019 set a record for the warmest year ever, what exactly do we mean when we say that?
Yeah, so folks have been going out and taking temperature observations for over a century all around the country. And what we have are just daily thermometer readings from folks that are averaged together by our colleagues up in Asheville at NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information. And then once those numbers are all put together, we see where the year ends up ranking. And this year it was the warmest on record.
And what contributes to that? Is it hotter temperatures during the day or at night? How does the calculation come about?
It's a little of both. But the really striking thing here in the Southeast and in North Carolina is that our nights have been really warm, especially for the past 5 years. So, you know, we think about heat and we think about those big heat waves that we feel in downtown Raleigh and downtown Durham, but our nights have been progressively warmer and pretty significantly so.
What leads to that?
So it's a little bit of the sensitivity. So we live in something called the boundary layer, and at night it's closer to the ground. So the radiation, you just need a little bit of sensitivity to heat up that air column. In the day, it takes a little bit more work to do that. But the greenhouse effect is happening day and night. You don't need the sun to make it happen.
Okay, so that leads us to the obvious question. Is this data evidence that the climate is, in fact, changing?
Yeah, so this was the second warmest year on record globally, so the first warmest year on record in North Carolina. And it's absolutely certain that the planet's warming, and we're feeling the effects here in North Carolina. The entire Southeast was warm, and you have to look really hard on the map to find a place that was cooler than average around the entire globe. So yes, this is climate change.
So describe what that looks like on the ground here. Obviously, we just saw Australia and those immense fires, and that's a really clear example of, you know, a kind of persistent environmental occurrence that we haven't maybe seen in this way before. What is North Carolina's version of that?
Yeah, obviously we have a lot of coastal impacts. Sea level rise is evident, and we're seeing that now on our barrier islands and our coasts. But also we're seeing more intense rainfall. So that can be associated with hurricanes like Hurricane Florence. Or we can get these storms where we get 3-4 inches and we see some flash flooding in downtown cities. And we have a lot of areas that are kind of getting hit from both sides on the coastal plain. They're recovering from 3 hurricanes in the past 4 years, but also just these intense rainfall events that are happening. So it's really hitting them from both sides. And we're seeing some pretty significant flooding in eastern North Carolina.
In addition to flooding, there's also questions about agriculture and crops and some really interesting examples of how this persistent warming affects the kinds of things that can grow and survive in this state.
Yeah, so we grow certain things because they grow well here. We grow sweet potatoes and we're very proud of that. But our crops need those cool nighttime temperatures sometimes to thrive. Mm. And since our nights are getting so much warmer, they're not as available or not as accessible. So we're thinking, can the things that we grow now grow here in the future? Should we be growing things differently? And certainly farmers are very attuned to changes in weather and climate. They've been doing this for generations and can see on the ground that things are different.
So you mentioned sweet potatoes. What are the particular crops, other crops that are being affected by these changes?
Well, our stone fruits need those chilling hours overnight. So peaches, you know, anything with a pit inside really need those cool nighttime temperatures, which folks don't really think about. We tend to go to, okay, we need warm temperatures to make these plants thrive.
Okay. And I'm one of those people that has sweet blood, I guess. I'm particularly susceptible to mosquitoes. And they've always been bad here in North Carolina. But I wonder if there's anything about this persistent humidity or these increasing warmer nights that leads to changes in the kind of bugs and weeds and that kind of thing that we see.
Yeah, folks ask me what worries me the most as a climate scientist about climate change in North Carolina. And it's certainly the public health angle, thinking about these vector-borne diseases that maybe weren't here before or couldn't thrive here, like dengue or Zika. might have a chance of, these mosquitoes might have a chance of surviving in these warmer, more humid temperatures. And then just also thinking about heat-related illness. So warm daytime temperatures, folks who have to work outside and they might not have access to sufficient cooling, and then may go home and live in areas that don't have shade or air conditioning and their bodies are just absolutely stressed. Hmm.
So I'm curious, as someone in your role, obviously you are mapping and evaluating the science, documenting these trends. But what are you seeing in terms of changes or policy suggestions to curb some of these trends? Is that something that's on your radar?
It is a little bit on my radar. So my office works on the data side, but I'm in tune with what's going on. And a number of cities and states, including North Carolina, have stepped up in the absence of federal and global leadership on this issue and said, we need to do something about this. This is a huge, serious problem.
So I know Asheville, just two nights ago, their city council voted to declare a climate emergency in their city, saying they're going to set their own rigorous goals on warming and greenhouse gases and renewable energy. What does this actually look like on a city level? What can they do and what kind of change can that have?
Well, we need a global strategy to really change the trajectory. But this is showing leadership. This is underscoring the severity of the problem. This is really serious. And like I said, states and cities are stepping up in the absence of federal and global leadership on the issue. And we're starting to see similar things in the business community. Microsoft said they'll go carbon negative by, I think, 2030. And, you know, this is really something. A thriving North Carolina is a climate resilient North Carolina. And thinking about how we're contributing to the problem, but also how we can prepare for the problem is something that's on the forefront of my mind and the folks that I work with as well. So I think Asheville's stepping up and saying, we need to do something about this and we're going to do everything we can.
How much of the lack of movement or lack of policy change do you think can be attributed to people not believing the science of climate change?
Well, there's a good study by my colleagues at Yale that divides America into six segments. And it's basically on how you perceive climate science, what you quote-unquote believe in. And there's a staunch group of about 10% of the population that will not change their minds, and this is something much bigger than the science. But there's this flexible middle, and we're seeing them shift toward acceptance that this is actually happening. And we try to meet people where they are. I don't want to antagonize people. I don't want to point fingers and blame folks. You know, this is happening to us, and we need each other to get through this crisis. So I think the science denial is changing a little bit. It's still there, but after some of these big events like Hurricane Florence, it's obvious that something's happening.
What do you say to North Carolinians that you encounter that are skeptics? Do you have kind of traditional facts that you use or examples that you like to use that you think people can really understand the best?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I like to do, and this is what we're talking about today, is just pointing to the data. We've been taking observations. These aren't models. These are tried and true methods, thermometers. We've used them for a long time. But also connecting on shared values and building relationships. And that's really, really crucial. People always ask me, what can I do about climate change? And it's talk to your loved ones because they like you and they're going to listen to what you say and you understand what makes them tick. And just being very genuine with folks about what you do know and how you understand how they live and what they care about.
Well, in terms of the data, we obviously started the segment talking about how last year was the warmest year on record. That doesn't necessarily mean next year will be even warmer. So tell us about that and how we should make sense of these year-to-year markers as part of bigger trends.
Yeah, I mean, climate's not a stair step, so we don't know what 2020 will look like. I mean, the Super Bowl is on Sunday, and we don't call the game 5 minutes into the game, and we're not going to do that this year with 2020. But if you're placing a bet, warmer than average is probably the way that it's going because this is what we've seen. We've seen a number of our warmest years in the past 30 years here in North Carolina. We're seeing these global patterns. Like I said, 2019 was the second warmest year on record globally. 2016 was the first. Climate change isn't the only thing driving the climate. There's still natural variability. There's still how we're using the land contributing to what the temperature actually ends up being for the year. But we are heating up the planet, and we're seeing it on the ground here in North Carolina.
Does this mean that we also won't have cooler days? I know there were no snow days in 2019, much to a lot of people's dismay. Are we going to be expecting fewer of those cold temperature events moving forward?
We'll still have cold days and we'll still get snow. I know that a lot of kids were disappointed they didn't have some snow days this year. But we're stacking the deck with more of these warm years. In 2019, we saw more maximum temperature records than minimum temperature records. And that's a pattern that we're seeing all over the planet.
Are there any other predictions that you all are making for the years to come, the decade to come?
This will be a different North Carolina. We've warmed about a degree Fahrenheit in the past 125 years, and the projections range anywhere from 4 to 10 degrees by the end of the century. So what we're focusing on is the next few decades. How can we be resilient to this change? How can we thrive as a state? How can we get through this together?
Kathy Dello is a state climatologist of North Carolina. Kathy, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.